I'm always amazed at how it gets colder when the sun comes up. That just amazes me. I'm going to have to read about that. If I don't understand something, I can't hardly stand it, so I have to figure it out. But when I got up early this morning, it was like 7 degrees. I think it was actually 9 degrees when I got up this morning at 4 o'clock. And then as it got closer to daylight, it got colder and colder. And when the sun come up, it's down to about 4 or 3 here. And when I was over here checking the parking lot, it was like 4 degrees and the sun was coming up. And it really wasn't that bad. As long as you was inside the heated vehicle, it was great. But thank God. We're going to be talking some more today about believing. Last Sunday we was talking about the difference between faith and believing, and I know that seems like it would be the same thing. But faith, as we talked last Sunday, faith is an act of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. God gave us the ability to have faith. Believing that faith is our choice. And we have to make the choice whether we believe or not. And so in making that choice, then that's where our soul comes into play. If we actually believe that the Word of God is true, we believe that Jesus is who He said He is, and we're able to put our faith in that. The man, remember the story about the young boy that was possessed with a deaf and dumb spirit and would have seizures, and it would throw him in the fire and in the water and all that kind of stuff. The father brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the spirit out of him. And then Jesus came and was able, and the man said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, if you can do anything, help my son." Jesus turned it around on him, and he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." All things about Jesus turned it around, and he said, "You got to believe." In other words, you have to make a choice to believe that I'm able to do this. And even the disciples couldn't make that choice at that time. They sometimes visual cancels out our faith. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a hard time believing because of what you were seeing? When things look really bad, it's kind of hard to believe. When it's overwhelming to your senses, it's hard to believe. And the disciples were seeing this young man and seeing what was going on with him, and they were having a hard time with this, even though Jesus had given them authority, and they had even celebrated how that the demons were subject to them. And yet, in this situation, they were having a hard time with it. And a lot of times, it's just the visual that overwhelms us. When we're dealing with a situation that looks really bad, it's hard to remove that image from our mind to believe and see it, see the answer instead of the problem. When you're seeing, if you're dealing with somebody demon-possessed and they're having the convulsions and all the weird stuff that takes place. We've seen a bunch of it. And it's if you don't understand authority over power, then it's going to cause you to be unsettled. It's going to cause you to have a hard time dealing with that because of what you're seeing. You're seeing power in display. And you have to understand that Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." Authority always trumps power. Amen. And so to believe that you can do something about this, you have to not believe just in the power of God, you have to believe in the authority of God, that He is above all things. Like the man that came to Jesus, and his servant was seriously ill, and asked him, asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus said, "I'll come to him." And he said, "No, you don't need to come. Just say the word." And then he gave the illustration, the military illustration of being an authority over men. And when he speaks, they do it. And Jesus said, "I've not found such great faith, not in all Israel." What was he saying? He's saying great faith is when you understand who's in charge and when you understand who has authority in this situation. I can go to people that have a certain mindset, and I cannot command them to change their mindset, because I do not have authority over will. Nobody does. Jesus didn't even take authority over people's will. But if I come against a demonic power, then I have every right to command them, and they obey because I'm coming to them in a greater authority, and that's the name of Jesus. And Jesus already told us in several situations, in several verses, that we will cast out, in His name we will cast out devils. And so we, by reading that, we have faith in God, but then by reading that, we make a choice to believe that Jesus has given me that authority through His name. You understand what I'm saying? You can believe that God can do it, or you can have faith that God can do it. But in order for you to do it, you have to believe that it's been given to you, that authority's been given to you. All right. Think I got that explained. Maybe. I want us to look in the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 45. It's talking about Mary, when the angel visited Mary, and then she went to see Elizabeth. When you study this, it's really amazing to see how after 500 years of no word from God, all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy and declarations from heaven just started exploding everywhere. And at first, people had a hard time with it, but once it started, everybody began to embrace it and grab hold of it, and the things they had been taught and heard all their life suddenly began to come alive, and they began to believe what was being said. In verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" An angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And see, the angel gave Mary something to go by to believe. Because it was rational, it was right for Mary to say, "How can this happen?" She was just a young girl. They estimate that Marys are like 13 years old. And back then they got married at 12 to 13 years old. I can't even imagine that. I see some of these young girls running around here as 12, 13 years old and think, I told a family the other day, I said, "Do you realize that your daughter several years ago would be getting married right now?" That amazes me. Man, they grew up faster back then. Grew up faster than I did. But Mary was just a young girl. Can you imagine an angel coming to a 13-year-old girl and saying, "You're going to conceive and bear a son"? And she said, "How can that be? I am engaged." There had been an arranged marriage made to Joseph. And most of us here in America don't understand arranged marriages. I've spent enough time in India that I understand arranged marriages, because they still arrange marriages in India today. And if your father comes to you, if you're a girl and your father comes to you and says, I have arranged for you to marry this young man," and he goes and works out the details with the other parents. And after they work out the details with the other parents in how much dowry is going to be given by the girl's family to the boy's family. Sam Conley has not paid his dowry yet. I told him when Benai Natalie is going to get married, I told him, I said, "Buddy, you need to work something out here. I need to know how much dowry." And we finally come down on one donkey and two goats. And he has not paid that yet. And so once they establish a dowry, then the boy and the girl have 5 minutes to meet each other and to say yes or no. And of course, if you say no, it's a disgrace to your family. And so there's a lot of pressure there. And we've been there. We've been involved in these situations. baffles our minds, you know, but our Western culture is so much different, but they're used to it, and somehow it works. And a lot of, most of the time, you know, they, especially in Christian homes, they end up loving each other. They end up, you know, with a happy marriage. Sometimes a little rough, but they get to know each other. Can you imagine not getting to know the person you're going to marry until after you get married? And then all of a sudden, hey, we're married. Yeehaw! You know, who are you? And then you have to get to know each other. That's the situation that Mary was in here. There had been an arranged marriage with Joseph. She was engaged to be married. And those engagements could last a long time because the man had to get a certain amount of stability established before they could get married. And he had to have a place. He had to have finances. And so he had to work at getting ready to take care of and support his family. And then once all of that was in place, then they would have the wedding and they would start their life together. So they had that time in Bible days, they had that time to get to know each other and get to know each other's family, because sometimes these engagements or betrothals could take a while. And then one thing they did that we don't do here in America is after they get married, the first year the families would support the children and they wouldn't have to work for the whole first year. Some of you kids are going, well, boy. But the Mary is in this situation. She's a young girl. She doesn't know Joseph sexually. And she's pure. She's holy. She has a commitment not only to Joseph, but she has a commitment to her faith and to God and to her responsibilities. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up and says, hey, you are blessed. You're going to get pregnant. That would be quite an announcement, especially for a young girl like that. And then the angel helped her by saying, look, your cousin Elizabeth, who is called barren, is past the age of having children, she is in her sixth month with God. Nothing shall be impossible. And immediately Mary said, I'm your handmaiden, be it unto me according to your will. And so she believed and accepted this and then had to go see Elizabeth. And she took off. Now, there's a lot of reasons for why she went to see Elizabeth at this time. One of them could be so that nobody could say that her and Joseph had messed up on their engagement. Because she took off and lived with Elizabeth for 3 months until Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. We call him John the Baptist. And so Mary stayed there for 3 months until this baby's born, and then she went back home, and that's when Joseph, they united, and a short time after that, then Mary gave birth when the taxation was announced. But when the angel of the Lord visited Elizabeth and the angel of the Lord visited Mary, there was a believing that had to take place. Now, Zechariah had a hard time believing this because it just didn't make any sense to him. And yet he had prayed. But after all this began to happen, then Mary, when she went to see Elizabeth, she went to a house I don't know if they'd ever visited before. I don't have any idea. But she came to the house of Elizabeth, and when she knocked on the door, and John or Zechariah couldn't talk, so he didn't answer the door. Elizabeth answered the door. And when she answered the door and Mary said hello, just a simple greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy after 500 years of no word from God. I mean, think about it. America is barely 230-some years old. I forget how old we are. This 500 years, no word, no prophet, nothing from God, and now all of a sudden the word of God is just exploding everywhere, and Elizabeth begins to prophesy just simply because Mary said hello. Amen. Now, I couldn't find this. I have searched and searched and searched. I couldn't find this, but T.D. Jakes in Dallas, Texas, I heard him say this here a while back. He said that Josephus, and I have read everything I can find on Josephus and Elizabeth and trying to find this for myself, but he said that Elizabeth, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, Elizabeth had been concerned because she was in her sixth month and had never felt the baby move and was fearful that the baby was dead. And when Mary knocked on the door, carrying the hope inside of her, I mean, you got to stop and think. What was in Mary's womb had 23 chromosomes from Mary's side of the family and 23 chromosomes from Heavenly Father. I mean, can you imagine having half the chromosomes in your body from God? Now we know Jesus wasn't completely normal. He had 23 chromosomes from God Almighty. And whenever Mary said hello for the first time, according to Brother Jakes and Josephus, for the first time Elizabeth felt the baby leap within her womb for joy. And that's why she made such a big deal out of it and began to prophesy, because all of a sudden the Spirit of God touched her and there was a reaction in her womb. Can you imagine the relief? I mean, if you was in that position, 6 months pregnant, never had a child, finally this promised child is here, and it had never moved, and the fear that this baby was dead. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and your little 15-year-old or 13-year-old cousin is at the door. And as soon as she opens the door and greets her, the baby leaps for joy within her womb. You're talking about an answer to prayer. You're talking about faith. And Elizabeth began to prophesy. Mary didn't even have time to tell her what had happened. Let's read a little bit more of this. It says, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I want you to notice that. Elizabeth, Mary hadn't even had time to tell her what had happened. And she said, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? Praise God. We're talking about a prophetic gift and operation here. Blessed are you among women. Amen. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed. Mary believed. Mary accepted. And by the time she got up and headed for Elizabeth's house, she had already conceived of the Holy Spirit in her womb, and she was pregnant with the Son of God. And the very announcement, the very greeting of Mary caused a reaction in Elizabeth's womb and caused her to begin to prophesy. And later we see that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. There was such a powerful happening in the lives of people that all of a sudden there was this eruption of the presence of God. There was a spiritual eruption. We would today call it a revival. When all of a sudden there's just this awakening of the Spirit of God, an awakening of the presence of God. And all of a sudden people are aware that God is present with us. That's what happens when revivals break out, is when people suddenly get the idea and the understanding that God is present. He's real, He's here, and He's right now. And so Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now remember in Hebrews it says that without faith it's impossible to believe God, or to to please God. But if you have faith, you have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, diligently seeking him is not just a emergency knock on the door. You know, we hurt ourselves by suddenly thinking we can build faith and receive a miracle from God when we haven't even been concerned about God. You have too much fighting against you. You've got yourself fighting against you. You've got all the circumstances fighting against you. If we could only learn to build the house in the good weather so that the wind doesn't blow it down in the storm. Amen. Faith has to be built when everything's going good. You have to build your faith in your soul. It can't just be a spiritual act. Your soul will nullify everything your spirit tries to do if there is not a believing in your soul. If your soul is not able to grab hold of this, then look what Jesus said. I mean, we got the Son of God, miracle working power, the very glory of God in his hometown, and it says he could do no great miracles there, only heal a few sick people. I think that's pretty great to heal a few sick people, but he could do no great miracle. Why? Not because the power wasn't present, not because the very glory of God wasn't right there with them, but because they were unable to believe. And so they rejected because they couldn't receive the form that the miracle was walking in. How many times do people do that? You know? We're real bad about it here in Missouri. I've known for a long time, and in the whole Midwest, we when God starts working through somebody, when miracles begin to happen, when God begins to really move in somebody's life, the first thing we do is search for a fault. And if we can find one fault in that person, then we nullify everything. The sad thing is, God's never going to find somebody that doesn't have a fault. And so every time we cast down what God's trying to do because we can't accept the vessel that the miracle's walking in, then we cancel our ability. We're like the hometown of Jesus that couldn't believe or receive what God was doing simply because they said, "Don't we know this guy? Isn't this the son of Mary and Joseph? We have his brothers and sisters with. Who does he think he is?" Come on, somebody. Amen. Who does he think he is? And they could not accept that this was the anointed one of God because they had a reference in the natural that they couldn't get over. Amen. How often do we do that? Amen. God tries to raise up people right here among us, and we tear them down because of history and because of things we might think we know about them. And so we cancel out everything God's doing, but some stranger can come in here that we don't know, and everybody will flock to them because we don't know them. And the person that God's trying to use here can go somewhere else, and they will flock to him there because they don't know him until they get familiar. And once they get familiar, they find enough fault that they cancel out what God's trying to do. Isn't that how we are? If we can pick somebody, if we can find a fault in somebody, we will not allow them to minister. I remember some time ago, I had Dr. Gorman here at church. And Dr. Gorman, he's barely hanging in there right now. He's back in the hospital. Powerfully anointed man. There have been miracle after miracle after miracle through this man's life. And he has worked in the word of prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom all of his life, and there's been tremendous things happen. He planted a church in New Orleans in the middle of that city and built a huge, massive church. through the demonstration and the power of God. Not because he was a great speaker, but through the power and demonstration of the Spirit, people being healed. And he would have healing services and announce healing services, people would be healed, and miracles take place. And every morning at 10 o'clock, he would teach. And when he'd get through teaching, he would begin to just call people out and tell them what's going on in their life. And God would just change their life and drastically change him. And, of course, now he's way up in years frail and his physical strength isn't as much. And I had him here at the church, and I was amazed that we really couldn't receive from him. And one of the reasons that this church, none of you is here, surely, one of the reasons we couldn't receive from him is because he got up and advertised some books and tapes that he had before he preached. And said, you know, we got these books, we got these tapes. I had so many people come to me after he was here and just complain and say, I can't believe he got up and did that. I can't believe he's trying to sell stuff. I can't believe. And I'm standing there looking at him thinking, there was miracles in the house. The Word of God was in the house. There was deliverance for us. There was miracles ready. But we found one thing, and we canceled it all out because of that one thing. And because of that, we couldn't really do it. There's nothing happened. Nothing happened. And yet in a service just here recently, Brother Gorman, who can barely walk, has had stroke after stroke after stroke and just keeps coming back. And is, unless a miracle takes place, he's on his way out right now. But just here all back in a service, a woman came up with a very bad back and severe, had surgeries and things. And he prayed for her, and the people around literally heard this cracking and popping taking place as he was praying for her, and this woman's back completely straightened right in front of their eyes. I mean, they heard it with their own ears. People was saying, I saw her back straighten, and I heard this loud popping and cracking noise as her back straightened and she was healed. They did Jesus the same way. And I wonder today if we have become, we have come to the place where we can't receive the blessings of God because we have become so cynical about who God uses. I didn't plan on preaching on this, but I am. I actually, here a while back, when God began to talk to me, he's been talking to me for a long time, but here recently when he just grabbed hold of my spirit and just began to arrest me and tell me that he wanted me to seclude myself and start praying. By the way, today starts the 21 days, okay, of fasting in some way. And some of you said you was going to fast Facebook, and then I posted on Facebook that we was going to have church today. So how are we going to find out? I don't know. We'll work it out. Whatever, but I didn't say you couldn't be on Facebook. I said find something to fast to give your time to. Instead of giving your time to that, give it to God in prayer and in seeking God, whether it's food or time or things like that. Amen. I've been doing this for several months now, and we're for whatever reason, God gave me January the 7th. I don't know why. Don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to just continue to seek God through that date and after that date and just continue. But I just know that God is wanting to do something in our midst. He's wanting to change us. And here a while back, when I was in prayer, God began to convict me of the very thing that I'm talking to you about. And I just began to repent and say, God, I have been critical of men that I'm not even worthy to carry their shoes. And yet somehow I thought I had the right to be critical of them because I found some little thought flaw, some little thing. And so I wasn't able to participate with that because I found a flaw. And so I separated from that. And I've I'm still doing it this day, constantly. I've just been repenting over and over and over, and even being really hard on myself. There was, here a while back, I was in this auditorium praying, and I just started saying, man, I am just stupid. How could I think that I could criticize somebody that's doing so much more than me? Amen. Praise God. Come on, lighten up. This is good stuff. When we set ourselves to judge everything that God is doing and refuse to receive because we don't like something about the vessel, we're going to have to learn to look beyond the vessel and just start seeing God. Because vessels are going to get broken. Vessels are going to mess up. Vessels are going to spill the wine. But God is going to continue, and He will continue to work through broken vessels. He will continue to work through people that many would disqualify. Matter of fact, I have the feeling that God's about to start raising up some disqualified people to demonstrate and manifest His glory in. And I wonder, I don't want to get political, but back in 2012, God told me that Donald Trump was going to be our next president, and I refused to use his name because I knew that immediately most people would just shut down. But this is what God said. God said, I am raising up voices. I'm raising up voices. But my church is going to reject the people, the vessels that my voice is coming through. And we have to learn to hear the voice. Hard, isn't it? Some of y'all can sit here and say, yeah, it's real hard. Hard to hear that voice. Because we have such a hard time with the vessel. Amen. Boy, we got stiff all of a sudden. Come on, somebody. Lighten up. Praise God. Matter of fact, God has people that we would totally discount that are going to stand up and end up being warriors for good. We might not even like their lifestyle, but God's going to raise up people. He's used ungodly kings for years. All back through the Old Testament, He used ungodly kings to accomplish the work that needed to be done. And we've got to simply start trusting God and saying, God, we're just your servants. And Lord, speak to us. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear what you're saying, Father. Amen. I mean, there was a backslidden prophet in the Old Testament that prophesied the word of God because another prophet had messed up. It's like, what? God, why do you do this stuff? You just really mess us up here. You confuse us. But you never know. It's that we've got to get to where we know God. We know the Father. Amen. I've got to get on with this. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. If your soul is not prospering, your life is not going to prosper. Amen. Now, I realize we say that, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit solves everything. You're only going to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point that your soul is able to yield. If your soul is not able to yield, you're not going to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like Mary. Mary totally yielded her life and her destiny, her future, her reputation. She yielded everything she had to God and said, Let it be to me according to your will. That took a powerful statement. That was a powerful statement of faith on her part. And so if our soul is prospering, then the rest of our life will prosper. How does your soul prosper? Your soul can only prosper through the knowledge it is taught. If you don't have knowledge, you will not be able to apply the things God has. If if you try to hire onto a job and then refuse to learn the job, how much are you going to prosper? You're not. Amen. There isn't anybody that can go and hire, and boy, there's some people that's got a rude awakening coming, but because they think that they can hire on somewhere and then tell the boss what they're going to do. You got a rude awakening coming. The world doesn't work like that. Amen. You know, I was reading the other day that now in the military, they give the people that are training in boot camp, they give them a little card, and if the drill sergeant gets too rough on them, they can hold up that card, and the drill sergeant has to walk away because they're offended. So they got this little card, and if the drill sergeant does something that offends them, they pull out this little card, and the drill sergeant has to just walk away. Well, you know why those drill sergeants are so rough? You know why they do that? Because when you get out there in battle, nobody's going to care about your feelings. They're going to shoot you. They're going to mistreat you. And you can whip out your little card and stand up and hold it up, and the enemy is not going to turn and walk away. They're going to shoot you. And those drill sergeants do that because they're trying to toughen people up to where battle doesn't break them and destroy them. And yet, I mean, the things that you see and do in battle, I imagine a lot of them wish they would have been toughened up just a little bit more. Amen. So whipping out your little card today isn't going to change things. You're still going to have to face life. And so if you hire on somewhere and they start trying to teach you and train you the job, and you say, you know, I really don't want to learn this, I just want the benefits. I don't want to learn how to do this. I just want the benefit. That is Christianity summed up in our day. People don't want to apply themselves to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and learning who He is and how to walk in Him. We just want the benefits. We want to go to heaven. We want Him to fix all of our problems. We want Him to heal our body. And yet, we're not willing to apply ourselves. I realize I'm preaching to the choir this morning. You guys are the tough ones that showed up this morning. Amen. So just say, man, I wish those people had been here that needed this. I preached a message one time when I was in my early 20s, evangelist. I called it scoop shovel Christianity. Always dishing it on somebody else. Boy, I know who needed that. Boy, I wish they'd have been here. We enrich our souls with the knowledge of His will. If we enrich our souls with knowledge of His will, we will enrich our lives with the blessing of His inheritance. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, Peter prefaced this in the right way. He said, all this stuff is available through the knowledge of Him. What is that? That's your soul prospering in the things of God because you're gaining knowledge of who Jesus is and how He works. You're gaining knowledge of how to receive from God. Knowledge helps us to be able to understand. If you don't understand something, then you don't know how to fix it. But if you understand something, you know how to fix it. Amen. I was at Ronnie Johnson yesterday. By the way, pray for his family. Ronnie's not doing good at all. He's, unless something changes, he's slipping. He's going to slip into eternity here pretty soon. But I was at his house yesterday, and they was having trouble with the water. And the water was pulsating. You know, they'd try to turn the water on and, you know. And I thought I knew what it was. But so I called the well people on the side, the ones that installed it. I called them up and I talked to them about it. Why? Because they had the knowledge. And if I'm going to fix something, I need to access knowledge. And once I access knowledge, then I can do it myself. And so I called him and asked him, I said, I believe this is what's wrong. What can I do to fix this and try to fix it myself? And if I can't, if it doesn't work, then you guys are going to have to come out. And he walked me through it and told me how to do it. And I went through all the steps and tried to get their water working right again, and come find out the bladder and the tank had ruptured. And after all that, I couldn't fix it. And he was supposed to be out there this morning fixing that. Hopefully he was able to do that. But I had to find knowledge. And once I found knowledge, I could apply myself to the situation and repair it. When we have knowledge of the Word of God, and it's not just something that we have heard, but it's something that we have received. We have taught our soul in the knowledge of the Word of God. Then you have received from the master craftsman how to repair and fix your situation. And once you receive that, then you're not wondering if God's going to answer your prayer, because you know what's going on, and you know how to access this. You know how to take care of it, because you already have received the knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ." And in Colossians 1:9-10, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That means you don't just have knowledge, you know how to apply the knowledge. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Amen. Jesus told Dad, He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." If you can believe, praise God. I've been doing this for years. Here in a few years, we'll celebrate 40 years of preaching the gospel. Been doing a long time. But I got to tell you something. I still have to search the Word of God, and I still have to teach myself, and I still have to instruct myself on how to receive from God. Amen. There's some things that I don't even pay attention to anymore that I used to just really get uptight about. Why? Because I've got it. You know, it's in my spirit. It's in my heart. I know how to do this. But other things come, and I have to go to the Word of God, and I have to increase my understanding in Jesus. Increase my understanding in the Holy Spirit, in all wisdom and understanding, so that I can apply that knowledge properly and to be able to receive from God. Amen. God's not withholding any good thing from you today. He doesn't want to withhold any good thing from you. Amen. I wish I could fix all the problems that people have. I really do. But I can't do that. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't heal everybody on planet Earth when He was here. He didn't change every situation, but He empowered us to receive. He empowered us to receive. Amen. Praise God. And every time there's a situation where things don't go the way I want them to, I back up and say, "Lord, I don't have this yet. I don't have a good understanding yet. I need to increase in the knowledge and understanding of the things of God." Amen. I wish I had a full understanding of what God wants us to do. Today, I've got little pieces, but I don't have a full understanding. But I will if I'll keep going, if I'll keep investing myself, if I keep listening, if I keep allowing God to speak to me, I will grow in the knowledge that God wants us to grow in. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good today. Praise God. Just believe. Believe that He has given you the things you have need of. Get in the Word of God. Increase in the knowledge of God. Amen. How do you know that God loves you? You gain the knowledge of it. You go in the Word of God and you teach your soul the knowledge, and you allow the Holy Spirit to empower that knowledge into revelation, and then it becomes part of you. Amen. How do you know that you're born again? because you've read it in the Word and you've practiced it and it's become revelation to you. And now you know that you're saved. You know that you're going to go to heaven. You know that you're born again. Amen. Because of the knowledge of God has become revelation to you. Stand with me if you would today. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. It's not all easy. You know, I wonder today how we have come to the place where we believe that if it's God, it's easy. I don't know where we got that. I don't know how. I think it come out of the 70s when they first started preaching the prosperity message. It's almost like, you know, if you had faith, there was no hardships. If you had faith, nothing bad would happen. If you had faith, you know, the devil couldn't attack you or fight you or all that kind of stuff. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. If you got faith, you're probably going to fight more battles than you have fought, because you're going to cause damage to the kingdom of darkness. And so there, this thing about it needing to be easy, most of the things that God's told me to do has not been easy. Matter of fact, it's taken a firm commitment and a firm a strength in saying, God, I'm not going to back up. I'm going to keep going. Because when God tells you to do something, it's not about whether it's easy or not. I've had people tell me, say, well, you know, things aren't working very good. Maybe we need to rethink this. Well, they're not going to work that good. Amen. Sometimes you have to labor to see a breakthrough. Sometimes you feel like you're crushed before you finally get victory. Amen. Sometimes you feel like you've been beat up, and you think, man, what's going on here? Where's the victory? Well, hang in there. It's coming. Praise God. Keep believing. It's coming. Your miracle's on the way. You just got to keep hanging in there. Don't give up. Don't back up. Don't stop believing just because things aren't going your way. You got to keep believing. Praise God. You got to keep working. If you really want something, you know how to go after it. I can guarantee you that. I've seen it all my life, seen people get what they really wanted. And I've seen them do astronomical things to get what they wanted. So if we really want the things that God has for us, we'll do it. We'll get them. Amen.